Hi guys, and welcome to the second episode of the 414 podcast. I'm your host, Kadzai, and today you'll be listening to my conversation with Monica. I met her when I was on a trip in Namibia, and yeah, she's wise, she's inspired, she's goals, she's everything. I hope you enjoy the episode. You were born in Namibia.
Yeah.
Your mom is... your dad is Portuguese.
My mom is Portuguese.
Your mom is Portuguese, yeah. And your dad is...
He's from Botswana, but he's Afrikaans.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you grew up here?
Yes.
How many siblings?
Oh, just one sibling, a younger brother.
Okay. Is he in church?
No, not yet.
Oh, are you praying for him?
Yes.
Okay. What's the age gap?
4 years. He's 4 years younger.
When did you give your life to Christ?
So 7 years ago.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. How did it happen?
It's basically my friend that we used to work together at an audit firm first. Mm-hmm. And then she used to invite me to church. And then I really liked it because I was in a traditional church first. But it was I liked it, but I didn't go immediately. I was just first checking out CRC because they were we were still very small by then. It was 50 people only in Nampower. Mm-hmm. And then I used to go, and then now and then I would tell her, yeah, I'm coming to your church this weekend. I want to dance. Mm-hmm. Because I really like the praise and worship. And in the old church, we didn't, obviously, you just sit and sing sometimes even. And me, I love music. Mm-hmm. So that's what really drew me. And the preachers were powerful. But then just this, I think it was, me and her moved in together because I resigned from that job and then I came to Sanlam. Mm-hmm. And then me and her moved in together that year. So we were still together, even even if we left the other job. Mm-hmm. So then, and then in the beginning of that year, the next year, I think, then the CRC went on a corporate fast for 3 weeks. Okay. Now, I'd never even knew about fasting or whatever. Yeah. But then I saw this girl was suffering here. And then the last week, I said, okay, cool, I'll join you on your fast. The first time ever I'm going to go
on a fast. Was it a dry fast or Daniel fast?
It was Daniel fast even.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know. She made it very extreme, just eating peanuts or whatever.
Okay.
And then, and that last week, then I said, because I was starting to have questions also about my church and, I just wanted to grow more and these people weren't giving me what I wanted or, I wasn't really growing. I knew there was more, mm-hmm. but, and I started having questions about things and my other church couldn't really answer them. But then I went on the fast for that week. But I didn't tell her, but I was fasting about whether or not I should go to CRC. And in that week, God gave me so many answers. It was not even funny. He just had to, the last one was just to speak in an audible voice. That's the only thing he left, mm-hmm. he left undone, basically. And then that weekend, I also went to CRC, and then it was Pastor Tabo from London that came. And then he also preached one of his fire sermons that it just mm-hmm. broke me, basically. And then from that day, I told her when we got home, I'm like, yeah, basically, I'm moving to CRC.
Yeah.
So just give me the membership form. Mm-hmm. And after that, I think I read the word, and then I asked her also about praying in tongues here and there. Mm-hmm. Because I wasn't sure, but she didn't force me or anything that. And then just the one day, Pastor called people to the front, basically, who wanted to pray in tongues. And she said, she was still, they even praying and saying, she really hopes I'm going. When she looked, to the side, then I was already in front.
Yeah.
So I was just yes, I want this.
So she was secretly praying for you the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. So, and I think it was 4 years that I was just visiting CRC, basically, before I actually made that decision. Yeah. So, but I was involved in the other church as well, and they, were kind of going forward slowly but surely. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, and then with baptism even...
But when did you, when was the day? You don't remember the day?
No, not the day specifically.
Yeah.
It was kind of a phasing in thing, basically.
Yeah.
And then, that beginning of the year, after we did the fast, then I just said, it's obvious. God told me in so many ways. We even had a kind of a home cell group in the other church.
Yeah.
Even in that home cell group, basically, I got answers that I should move.
Wow.
So, it was very obvious. It wasn't something overnight that I just decided, no, I'm leaving you people.
Was it Do your parents go to the old church you used to go to?
Yes, they're still there.
Were they upset when you left?
They didn't really, at that moment, they didn't really, they weren't really upset, but then later they got upset because they're saying like, yeah, it's just church the whole time. Mm. But then the other day, I had my birthday party. I turned 30. Mm-hmm. And then I had like a birthday party, but it was like mostly just CRC people. Mm-hmm. And I intentionally did it like that so that I could also show them like
that they're normal.
The past 5 years, yeah, like I'm not just doing this for the sake of, I don't know, just keeping myself busy or the church taking all my money or whatever, like things like people, like parents always think.
Yeah.
It was basically to show them how I've grown in the past 5 years. Mm-hmm. And yeah, basically there I think they saw my mother was even in tears at the end of the party because pastor then said something and then a lot of the leaders in church also said something. So obviously they could see like,
yeah,
I'm not just busy with nonsense.
Yeah. Are they saved? Your parents?
No, they're not saved. Yeah, it's a religious church, so.
So like, does it make you sad?
Yeah. It does. But they'll come eventually, so.
But do you think they're not saved because they're in a religious church or because, like, why did they? Because I had the same, because I grew up in a traditional church.
Yeah.
Then when I went to Russia, it was, I don't even know if I can call it Pentecostal. I don't know what that church is. But it was, like, more Pentecostal type.
Yeah, exactly.
And I started growing, and then that's when I realized that you have to give your life to Christ. That's because you go to church every Sunday. Mm. You're not going to go to heaven. And I remember I just, like, cried, and I was like, oh, my God. And I started thinking about, like, my family and all, like, people who were in traditional, because I was like, people in traditional churches, like,
yeah.
I didn't know, they did not, so I had this stigma, or I just had this way of thinking towards them. Mm. And then only, not that I'm saying they aren't saved people in traditional churches. They are. Yeah. But I just felt like, are they really saved? Like, do I mean? And then this last year, God started showing me things I never noticed. Because right now when I go home, when I'm with my parents, I still go to traditional church. But when I'm by myself, I go to another church.
Yeah, exactly.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
But then I started seeing things. I was like, whoa. And I just realized that sometimes you can find I just saw Holy Spirit move within that traditional church, and I was like, wow, so God, it really works. Like, God, Jesus is really building his church, because this wasn't what I expected. Like, I needed to be altar call or all these things, but I see that God is moving. And
yeah, I guess my dad is like, but I don't know, we'll see probably one day. But it's like they're not, it's like your life is not completely surrendered. He's not your Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
So it's like church is a Sunday thing, and we don't really talk about church outside of Sunday. It's not a lifestyle. It's like your life is not completely surrendered. There's a big difference. I know I come from that church, and the way that I grew just in that 1 year after I left that church compared to my whole life in the other church. It's not to make,
we're not bashing
to, the church. Not to bash them or anything. It's like, but I know there are people and the people, they do give nice sermons and stuff like that, but it's like you just know when something is spirit-filled. And it's like there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God.
Oh my
like
God.
Intimately.
Guys, I always say this. Yeah, all these people know God, but they don't really know.
Yeah.
They know about God, but they don't really know him.
Yeah.
And even when I talk to people who say, oh, I used to be Christian, but now I'm Muslim, I'm not surprised, because I always say, it just shows that you didn't really know.
Yeah.
Well, I always say, know what you believe and why you believe it. Many people don't read the Bible.
Yeah.
They just go to church and...
Yeah, that's what the word also says, like... And when Jesus comes back, many will say, Lord, Lord, but he will just say, I never knew you.
On the way to the 6 p.m. yesterday, I was like to the taxi driver, come, let's go to church. And like, I was so enthusiastic. He was like, okay, just give me your number and I'll call you when I want to come to church. I was like, I don't even live here.
And yeah, he was like, other plans probably.
He was the whole way we're just discussing the Bible, Christianity, baptism, all the stuff.
Yeah.
And then he was like, so why are you inviting me to this church? And I was like, because I know it's a good church and I know you need it. I was like, these two go, like I was with my friends, I was like, these two go to the church, get their number and go for sale, get planted. But I told him, I was like, just because you're Christian doesn't mean anything. It's just a label you tell you. Because he was saying, I'm Christian. I was like, yeah, but come and know more about the word and know, like, come and grow. You need church, you need to be planted. I actually thought he was going to come. And then last one, he was like, no, I have to work. Because he was with his sister. Yeah. I was like, check my sister. She needs to be saved. I'm saved already. I was like, one day you guys will come and you'll remember. You'll remember me. Exactly. But anyway, I actually wanted to talk about the prayer thing. Prayer in general. Because the past 6 years, I've struggled with prayer. Like, you know, other people like pray. I'm just there like... Like, it's always been a thing with me. I always used to go to leaders. And the church, I'm like, guys, I don't know how to pray. How should I pray? And then they'll be like, no, because I was just talking to God. And it released the pressure because I thought there was like a formula.
Yeah.
Special words I have to say. Yes, we can pray in tongues.
Yeah.
But like...
But I normally check if they are like new people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go and ask them if they pray in tongues yet. And then we just pray for them to receive tongues.
Okay.
But praying in tongues for me is like a big thing. And I love explaining it to people and like getting them to also pray. Like, normally everyone that I pray for receive tongues. It's like such a simple thing actually to just impart into people. So it's like, I don't know, it's just always been something for me. And normally when there are people, I can spot immediately when someone can't pray in tongues yet.
Okay.
They might, I don't know, they just, maybe they just look awkward or something. But yeah, no, I normally can just, I don't know, it's just something for me. Like, the word also says we sing in tongues and we sing in the understanding and we pray in tongues and we pray in the understanding.
Mm.
That's why, like, with praying in tongues, it's like you basically, you can also ask the Holy Spirit for interpretation. The word also says you know not what to pray for as you ought, but you can also ask for interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
So then while we're praying in tongues, then you normally, like, you ask for interpretation, normally the Holy Spirit will reveal some things to you, what you need to pray for.
Mm-hmm.
And we normally know we're like busy with corporate prayer, so obviously we're going to pray something for the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then normally with me, like, I just get a word normally, like, say readiness was on the evening service, and then the treasure and the word thing or something like that, or leadership or whatever. And then I normally know, like, okay, that's what we're going to pray for. And then you focus on that, or you get a scripture, or sometimes you even get a picture of the most random things. God speaks to everyone most differently. So, like, we pray in tongues and then we pray in understanding. Like, while we're praying in tongues, then you get your interpretation, but then in the understanding, then you basically speak out now what you received in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you declare it, basically, because we have power in our words, power, mm-hmm. in the power of the tongue. So that's...
The church I used to go to, where I feel like I began to know God, mm-hmm. was in Russia, and I didn't know what tongues were.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the first time I got in, I heard people like praying in tongues, but I just thought they were playing their language, because there were so many people from different countries. So I was like, it's probably like their native tongue.
Exactly.
Because I never knew about tongues.
Yeah.
Then when I started learning about it, reading Corinthians and all that stuff, and it says, I don't remember the scripture, but it was about like praying in tongues, like in an open space, unless there's an interpreter.
Mm.
How do you...
Okay, there's in the Bible, there's two types of tongues, actually, that's being spoken of. There's the one that says, there's the one that's a personal gift for every believer.
Mm-hmm.
There's also in Mark 16, verse 17, you can check. These signs will follow those who believe. They will pray in other tongues, they will cast out demons, and they will lay hands on sick people, and they will get healed,
mm-hmm.
and all of that. So that's the one tongue that's for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see, like, whenever at Pentecost, also all of them received that and stuff like that. But then the one in Corinthians is like a corporate gift that only certain people get. So that will maybe happen, like, in a setting where, say, you're in a prayer meeting or in the church, then someone will receive a tongue, basically. And then, but that person will then go to the pastor and submit it, And then the pastor, if the pastor already, he would have known, like someone would have come and given a tongue. And the pastor will say, okay, confirm it. It's like, okay, you can give the tongue, but then there will be someone that can interpret it. Normally it can also be the same person that received the tongue. Then they can receive the interpretation, or it will be someone else that will also come and say they're going to give the interpretation. And then basically it will be a word that will bless the whole church.
Okay.
But it doesn't happen so often. I think like in bigger churches like where Pastor Art is, then that might happen sometimes. But with us, it doesn't really happen that often. But that one, it's like a gift that's for specific people. Just like the gift of healing. Mm-hmm. It's like there's specific people that have a special gift of healing. So it's in like an office kind of that they stand in. It's like you'll have a line of 100 people and that person will just blow on the mic or whatever. Everyone will fall down and all get healed.
Mm-hmm.
But us as believers, we can also go and pray for someone to get healed. And they will get healed. If you lay hands on the sick, then they will get healed as well with faith. We can also pray for. So that's like the difference. Like the same thing. Like some people have a gift of that tongues, and then but it's available for every believer as well.
So because at the church I went to Russia, we would pray in tongues from the stage, and I noticed yesterday also.
Yeah.
At the 6 p.m.
Yeah.
When Pastor Art was like,
pray.
I don't know what he said. Like pray in.
Pray in tongues.
Pray in tongues. I don't know what he said specifically.
Pray in the spirit.
But I always remember this one guy came to me. Because I invited him to church, and he was like, I can't come to your church. And I was like, why? He's like, because your pastor prays in tongues from the stage. He's the one who made me think like, oh, so are we not supposed to? That's why I was asking you, like, how do you... I've never really found an answer, so that's why I'm asking you. Yeah, but yes.
Yeah, but it's in the word, so you can...
Back to
I
you.
I can give you some scriptures.
Okay, so how was it? How has it been? Like, what fires you up? What gets you going? Oh, my goodness.
It's just... I don't know, it's just like, I really found my purpose in church and my identity. Why am I getting emotional? But it's just like, I've never been myself more than in CRC, basically. It's like, when God made CRC, it's like he was thinking of me.
Yeah.
So I just fit in completely. I've never fit in so completely in my life. So it's really just... I've grown so much. There's never a comfort zone
mm-hmm.
in CRC. So it's like you're always challenged and everything.
Mm-hmm.
The leadership is amazing. People really like all for you and all just wanting to grow you. And okay, can we just... I don't know why I'm getting emotional.
Yeah, because it's real stuff. Like, yeah. I really mean it. Yeah.
And it's like God has really given me a gift for leadership as well.
Yeah.
And it makes me come alive, like really
in
church. Like even at work, I can't really express myself as much.
Yeah.
I have a good position and everything. I'm financial manager at Sanlam as well.
Okay.
And I do the group reporting and everything. But it's like at church is where all me and I can really impart into people's lives. Really grow them and increase them as well. So it's something I'm really passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
Making people also discover what their purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to see people like come alive like that.
Mm-hmm. It's the best.
Mm.
And how is it like how was it like? Because leadership can be hard in church.
Yeah.
Like how do you deal with it? Like. Do people always listen to you, or like how do you deal with like offenses and when offenses come?
I don't know. I'm a.
Like, or do you not get offended?
Not really. Like I'm just. Maybe it's like how we grew up. It's like we weren't very sensitive.
Okay.
Like growing, we love each other. It's not like we have a loveless home or anything. Like, I come from a really amazing family. Like my parents are really loving and they're still together and there's. Such good examples, and
mm-hmm.
my dad is the best, like really, he's such a good man,
mm-hmm.
and he really represents the father well,
mm-hmm.
So we don't really say I love you a lot, like stuff like that, so it's something like in CRC only I really learned how to tell people that I love them, But it's like in leadership, it's like, I don't really get offended easily. So I think that's how
like
I grew up.
Strength.
Like me and my brother, we would fight like today. We would beat each other like crazy people. And then 5 minutes later, we'd be fine again. We would, like, chill. And it's, like, so that's, like, I blow, like, with the Portuguese jeans, probably, it's, like, you get, go high fast. Mm-hmm. But then it's, like, you come down fast as well. Then you just let it out. Yeah. And then you're fine. So that's why, like, at church, like, I don't really get offended. Like, there are people that obviously have done things to you, but it's, like, I don't know, I'm just the what you see is what you get type of person.
Yeah.
And I just want to get things done. Like, I just want to make the things grow, like, multiply home cells and stuff like that. And I'm very driven at what I do. Even in school, like, in the school that I was, like, it's kind of, the teachers aren't always, like, up to par. So you kind of had to learn how to survive on by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of, like, taught me already. And, like, university as well, I did my degree also through UNISA while I started working, doing my articles already. So it was like part-time that I did my degree and my honors and everything.
Wow.
And so, like, yeah, I guess I was used to, like, just being left and doing my, I paid my own studies as well because my parents couldn't afford. Yeah, my parents couldn't afford to send me.
Goal is amazing.
So yeah, so I did my degree and my honors through that. And then I got this job at Sanlam, which is a very good job. Like, already at, I think at 23, I was a financial manager.
Are you writing a book about this? Like, do people know? Like, this is amazing. Do people know this about you? Like,
I don't know.
Because it could push other people, because other people will be like, no, no. But then you went out and did it. And
yeah,
it's inspiring.
So, yeah, it's,
wow.
I don't know. It was all God. I don't know. Half of the time, I don't even believe, like, everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And everything that I can achieve through His grace and through His power, and how He's really led me, like, all my life. Just the puzzle pieces just fall into place.
Mm.
And yeah, now I'm really, like you said, with leadership, it's like, I love it, like, and even, like, and that's why I think I also have a strong personality. There was a time in my life, because it's not normal for a woman to be, like, so kind of aggressive or whatever.
Yeah.
Or
to be, like, a boss. Basically.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I kind of had, like, insecurities about that. Like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I be like other women? It's so, like, can I be, like, more, like, feminine and stuff like that? And like more girly things or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, and then God really, like, worked with that through that with me. And I really realized, like, I am exactly what I need to be. And mm-hmm. God made me like this because I need to lead men as well in church and stuff like that. And they don't have a problem with it. I'm not trying to, like, promote, like, all feminism.
Oh, my gosh, high five.
So I love men to do their roles, what they're supposed to do and stuff like that. But it's not, like, I'm not weak in any way. Like, and I don't, like, try and force myself onto them. Like, you need to submit to women or something like that. But it's like, we can work together and we all have our strengths and our weaknesses.
Yeah.
As men and women. And we can work together like that. And that's why, like, and I get along with men very well.
Like, I don't need to be more like a man to be.
Exactly. So I can be myself, and I can also cry and things like that. And I had to, like, there was a stage in my life that I couldn't cry, actually. I don't know for what reason.
Mm-hmm.
And God also fixed that very, very
So now you just properly. Cry?
So now, flip it, I just cry sometimes for
the weirdest things.
Stupidest things but I feel. But it's, like, it's good. It's because it also shows your, also just human, you can be transparent and you can,
Or like, do you cry when, like, you're I had this thing when I would share with my cell girls, I'll just feel the tears come. I'm like, guys, I want to cry right now, but I don't know why. Just don't look at me weird. Let's just go through it.
Yeah.
And the tears come, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, it was the worst. People, it's weird. Yeah. For me, I've always just been a crier, so I don't know. I don't know what's up with that. But anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Can I ask, because people don't get it when I say I'm not, I know what I mean and I know what you mean, but I've never really articulated what I mean, but I'm not a feminist, because people look at me like, what? Not that I'm saying, I don't know how to explain, like, how would you explain, because I'm for women, yes, but I'm
can you
explain
it
in your own words, like, what do you mean by that?
God made us all strong in our own way, and we all have our strengths and weaknesses. So with men, they should lead, like, they should lead, but it's like, they should also not be intimidated also by strong, we get strong women as well that can lead as well, the same way that you do, and I don't have a problem submitting to a man.
Yeah.
Like, there's submission is a very good thing, submitting to your authority, like, we believe strongly in that in our church, where you submit to authority. And I do submit to my pastors, and I really have seen the benefits of really submitting under a covering. But it doesn't mean that, even in the Bible, like, it's taken out of context sometimes that women shouldn't lead. But there's a lot of women that actually led.
Were leaders,
the person that, if you really go and look at it, there's a lot of women that actually led, even in the book of Acts and stuff like that.
There
were women that were leading in the early church.
The first church was in Philippi, I think.
In her house and stuff like that. And so it's, feminism, it's not to, women need to be empowered, yes, but
we
can't bring other people down, or men down now, just because, I don't know, it's just, it skews the whole picture.
Yeah.
And God made men strong, with strong stature, for that reason, as providers and protectors. But women also, we have our strength. So he wants us all to be strong, and we can also lead effectively, even though, and together.
Yeah. To those listening and thinking, what are these people saying? Maybe we don't get what people say when they preach feminism. So this is, we'll educate ourselves more so we don't, we got offended. We're sorry. And I just realized we didn't pray when we started. Can we pray quickly, even though we already started?
Yeah.
Can you pray? Okay, you pray.
Should I pray? Father, we just glorify and honor you, my Lord, in Jesus' name. We just declare that this is a new thing that you are doing, my Lord, a new thing that you are bringing to us, my Lord, and that you are opening up doors that no man can shut.
Yes.
We declare in Jesus' name that every listener hearing right now, my Lord, that they will be blessed, and that you will increase their territory exceedingly and abundantly, and that you will exceed all of our expectations further than anything that we could ever imagine. In Jesus' name,
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. I feel like we've said everything. I don't know. Is there anything else you want to say? Like... Yes, that's what I wanted to ask, because for me, because I don't get emotional, it's been a big thing. Like, I don't think it affects you, because I feel like our personalities are very different from what you said. But like, for me, because I also lead, I'm not like I'm like up there. Feel like you're up there. but it bothers me sometimes, because I'm very like vocal about my convictions and what I believe and a ministry and all this stuff, and it kind of scares me. Does it scare, like, or maybe, like I said, maybe we're different, but sometimes I'm like, will I find someone who would be like, I don't want to shrink myself, I don't want to make myself small for whoever I marry. Does it ever scare you, or do you ever think about, or you don't think about it at all? It doesn't bother you?
It obviously has bothered me, because man, I intimidate some men.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like, I'm not, like, it's not just a fact, like, they've told me, like, to my face that I intimidate.
Okay, but no one's told me that. Thank you, Jesus.
So, but, yeah, and it sometimes it bothers a person, but it's like, I don't know, God knows who he has in store for you, and sometimes it might take longer because there's still things that you need to deal with, or whatever reason. But I don't know, it doesn't really bother me.
Okay.
Or I've dealt with it, I guess. It used to bother me, and it's like sometimes people also put the stigma, kind of, even in church, like, you can't really start doing your ministry unless you're married.
Right.
Because you're marrying this destiny of this person also,
you're
supposed to help. You're supposed to be the helper. But, that one I also got confirmation on from God, like, it's like he can still use you.
Yeah.
This man, if he's not up to scratch, then what is he doing with you? In any case, he's gonna just pull you down. In any case, if he's not up to the level, because it's not good to be unequally yoked. In any case, and that doesn't just mean the person should be born again. It means they should be at the same spiritual level as well, or kind of like, you can't really measure that. But it's like, the person must also be going towards the same thing. And God will bring that person to you, like, even if it looks hopeless or whatever. I've seen so many testimonies with friends around me that, like, it looked like they were not even going to get married, because they also, like, kind of difficult people, and it's not like, or not difficult, it's like
they were strong and yeah
they've also their own strong personalities, not just anyone that can get along with them, but it's like they found exactly the right man. Like, I couldn't choose anyone else. It just made sense when they met that person already. Like, even with my friend, I already knew from the start, she didn't even know yet, and I was like, sis, it's just your husband, man. It's like, it was so obvious from the start. And it's like such things that it keeps you going. It's like, God has this. Like, we tend to try and make God also small and think like, yeah, but I'm just this person here. Like, why would he like even think of me? But it's like, he has a great plan for all of us. And it's, he'll bring that person at the right time. And he also knows exactly, like, I even spoke to this other, the other lady also in our church. And she said, like, if she married her husband any sooner, like if they got married a few years earlier, it would have been a disaster.
Okay.
All right, because they both had things to deal with and things to go through first before they actually could come together. And it's just God knows his timing and he knows what he has for us.
And what would you say to girls who... Because the thing is, I meet a lot of... Because for me, I feel like I'm a romantic and all that stuff. I try tone down the Hallmark movies, but they're just so good and they're cute. But because sometimes, not that I'm saying I'm deep and I know everything, because no one ever knows everything.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm like, wow, if I didn't know what I know,
yeah,
I probably would be married by now. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I didn't have my convictions.
The longer you're not married, the higher your expectations get.
Yeah, that's what, like, I'm saying. Yes, like the standard keep. I'm like,
you're just like, because I know the guy that I would have married 5 years ago is definitely not the man that I would marry today.
Yeah.
Because you know so much more now, and you're just like, I'm not settling for those things.
And when you're talking, I was like, oh my God, is she like my sister? Because what you're saying, I was literally saying to my cousin's sister last week, I was like, just because you're both Christian doesn't mean you're equally yoked, and I had to explain what that means to her. But what would you say to girls out there? Because in the end, because I know, I feel like there's a call on my life, and there's things that God wants each and everyone to do. Like, I would not that I want to be single, Lord, this is not what I'm saying, but I wouldn't want to risk what's on my life.
Yeah.
By settling. Does that make sense?
Exactly. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
So what would you say to girls? Because some people don't get that. Like, how would you encourage girls to...
Yesterday.
Because there's some girls, like, there's single girls out there, and there's single moms out there who feel like they... I don't want to seem offensive, but I feel like because they're single moms, they feel like if a guy just comes, and it doesn't mean that this is your husband, because they're thinking about their child also, and they would need, I think they would appreciate someone who's there to do life with them, to provide and all that stuff. Like, but what would you say to them, like not to settle?
Yes.
Is there anything that you would say to them?
I don't know. I've been like, I haven't really even been in a lot of relationships in my life, so it's never really been an issue. Like, I've never, like, a lot of people, it feels like they can't be alone, or like it's like they just go from one relationship to the next. So maybe it's difficult for some people to be alone. Like me, I'm like an independent person, so it's easy for me to, like, I don't really need people to feel good or anything like that. So we must also consider, like, other people are not like us, and they deal with different things differently as well. So, but it's just to keep grounded, like, I think it would be advice, and just to soak yourself in the word for as long as you can, because marriage is also not, it's not easy, and it's not what we think. It's just gonna be, you guys are gonna roll around the grass and I don't know what. And it's difficult because it's a person from a completely different background, and I have so many married friends now, and it's like, it really opens up your eyes just to speak to them as well. And it's like, they have good marriages. It's not like there's anything wrong, or it's the wrong people or anything, but it's still hard, and there's still challenges and stuff like that happen. So rather, being single it's so easy and so uncomplicated, and you can do so much for God. It's like, sometimes I even get scared, like, I'm like, really, do I really need to get married? Because, like, will I even get time to do these things? Because I really, it's like my passion, and it's, I really love doing things for God, but it will come eventually. But just to keep grounded, and it's like Psalm 23 says, like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Yeah.
So just to keep God first in a person's life and really draw close to Him, because He fulfills every need that we have. And even if you're in a relationship, or even if you're in a marriage, you can't, that person will never replace God. So if you're not grounded in your relationship with God, and He isn't the one that's completes you, then you're going to have unrealistic expectations of another person as well.
Yeah.
Because that person is going to disappoint you, and they are going to hurt you. But God will never do that. He says He will never leave you nor forsake you, and He just has good plans for you. So if you just keep grounded in that as well, and that's what's kept me going through. And keep yourself busy with things of God. Don't be, have an idle mind that you can, or I don't know, keep yourself like, and soak yourself in the Word, and get yourself some proper music, Christian music, that you can renew your mind, because sometimes it's just in the mind that you also now think you're lonely and nonsense like that. And it's like, just to keep yourself busy with the right things and keep yourself prayed up. And like, there's a lot of things we need to do as Christians. It's
The harvest is plenty.
Yes, exactly. So if we just focus on that, then the husband will come by himself.
Yeah.
So like God also says in Matthew 6:33, like, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things shall be added unto you. So we don't need to worry about that. It's not like, if it's from God, you won't have to go look for it.
And
it's
even,
like, especially with girls, it's like God also said, he who finds a wife finds a good thing.
She's so, my sister, you guys. This, she is like, wow. Anyway,
so it's like the husband needs to find you, and he needs to find you in the presence as well. You don't have to go looking for him.
He's preaching. I'm joking.
So and it's like, even like some girls also now want to get this unsaved brother.
Yeah, to get him saved, missionary dating.
Yes, basically. So it's like, no, I'll lead him to Christ and things.
But
like,
even but if you do, you're still unequally yoked.
You need to work very. It's very hard work then to get the guy at the same level, and it's very it can be very frustrating in a relationship.
You reminded me when you were talking. You reminded me of, you obviously know Christine Gain.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was listening to this interview. I think she had it with her husband, Nick Kane. And she said something similar to what you just said. Because she had just given her life to God. She was like on fire. Like, she was doing all these things for the Lord. Do you know the interview I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She was doing all these things for the Lord. And then her husband, Nick, proposed.
Okay.
And she didn't say yes immediately. Because she was like, I need to do all these things. Like, how can I get married? Like, how will it work? Like, she was so passionate about ministry. And then I'm assuming she didn't say yes immediately, because she was like, oh, God is so good. He probably sent me Nick and told him to propose so that I know, like, at least one guy wanted to marry me. Like, she was, like, trying to, she thought God was giving her Nick to show that, yes, you're going to be single your whole life, but there was a guy who actually wanted to marry you.
Oh, my goodness.
And then she goes back to Nick, and because she was about to start like her traveling ministry, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. And she goes back to Nick and she say whatever's on her heart. And Nick was like, so you think I would marry you and stop you from going to do what you have to do so that God, so I can answer to God? And like, oh no, I wanted Christine to stay at home and cook and clean. And she was like, no, basically he was like, we're doing this together. I'm not marrying you to keep you from what you. And I was just like, oh my God. I thought it was amazing. And they really are. I don't know them personally, but
exactly.
They seem to mesh well together.
Marriage should be.
Yeah.
Should do things together for God.
Yeah, like,
so if you don't find a guy, if the guy is just gonna, I don't know, if you're now here on the one road and your calling is basically leadership, and he wants to just, I don't know. Just blom here. It's like, obviously it's not gonna work. You know?
Yeah. And can I ask? Cause like let's say there is someone out there who's probably feeling like the passion you're talking about, or the goal to do all these things for God, but
You don't have to be married to.
You don't have to
be able
married
to do big things for God, especially like now women, because we sometimes feel like that.
And you don't necessarily have to marry your pastor to do ministry. Because I used to think, like, does this mean I have to marry? Not that there's anything wrong, like, if my husband is a pastor, okay,
I don't think
he
is.
Yeah, it's not, but you don't have to. It's
yeah.
I think Joyce Meyer's husband even, he's not a pastor.
Yeah.
So he just travels with her and does the media and stuff like that. So it's really not necessary. It's
like nothing to stress about.
Yeah.
What one more thing that I can
just
say?
Do your big things.
Because you're young. I know I'm 27 this year and I feel old, but we're still young. So.
Yeah. No,
but what would you say to young people? Because it's, to me, I feel like the devil's really attacking the youth because he knows like that's when you can do the most, I feel, for God and the kingdom. When you're young, when you're single. Not that I'm saying when you're married, it's just, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, what would you say to a young person listening to this? Like, it's, like, I feel like people think church and all this is for grown-ups. Or once I get married, then I'll, like, how would you encourage it?
I think the younger that you start, because, look, it's your spirit man grows as well. So if you don't start early already, there's a lot of things that you...
Explain to them, like, what is it, because... Like, what spirit man? Like,
okay, we basically wear a body with a soul. No,
and a spirit.
And your spirit lives inside you. And your spirit is the one that becomes born again when you give your life to Christ. So the spirit man is the one that you're feeding the word and feeding prayer and feeding through fasting and things like that. So he also needs to... He's also a baby in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to grow him. Like, the word also says, like, you need to... go from milk to solids now. So because, like, in the beginning, it's like, especially when you're born again early, then you'll be drawn to things like praying in tongues or baptism and things like this, because that's the basics in Christianity and tithing and things like. So you'll start doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And as you grow and as you mature, like, obviously God shows you deeper things, basically, and more things, but it's... That's why it's important to already start it, like, early, because it takes time. It's not overnight that you don't become Jesus when you become born again.
Yeah.
So, obviously, even Paul took, like, 14 years or 12 years in isolation, where he was also studying the Word and getting, like... But he was already, like, someone that knew the Word, but he also had to study and get his own
revelation
background and stuff like that. So, it takes time and it takes a lot of investment and a lot of praying. Like Pastor Ati is also preaching now at the moment about building your treasure in the inner man as well. So it's like it takes a lot of time and a lot of preparation as well, because sometimes God will also reveal something to you. And but if your treasure inside is not big enough, you might destroy that thing. Or it's like the same thing, like I was also sharing at prayer last night. It's when I give the keys of a Ferrari to a 16-year-old, it's a good blessing. Like, to anyone else, if it's a mature person, it would have been a good blessing, but it will destroy that 16-year-old because he doesn't know. He has not had a day. He'll just go and drive the thing as fast as he can and go smash into something. So it's the same thing with God. He can't give you, like, he might show you what your promise is, but he can't give it to you at that moment because your treasure isn't big enough and you don't have enough knowledge and enough responsibility, or you haven't been tested enough as well in certain points, so that you can be able to, or your character is not strong enough even to contain that yet. So the earlier you...
No, like, she's preaching. I'm here like, wow. Like, in my mind, I'm like, wow, this is for me.
So, like, yeah, the earlier you discover your purpose, also the better, because then you can start working towards that as well.
Yeah.
So because God also guides you. In the beginning, you don't really know what your purpose is, but as you start serving in the house and as you start discovering who you are in Christ and things like that, he really directs a person. And he might take you, say, if you started, I started at Kids Church even, but then I also grew out of that, basically. So I built up the whole Kids Church group, and then later I moved away from that and started in another ministry. And so that's like how God really grows you. But I needed to do that before I could move on to this. I couldn't just do what I'm already doing now. So it really prepares you, and it takes time. So it's better if we do early, and he does redeem the time, yes, but There's so much that a person learns, like, especially when you're younger.
Yeah.
And that he can, you fall in love with him, and it's like, there's not other distractions yet. You don't have kids and stuff like mm-hmm. that you now have to manage, and then you can go read your word at night and stuff like that. So it's important to just do it in your early ages already.
Well, I feel like we've said everything that needs to be said. Oh, just because we were referring to, Monica goes to CRC Church, which is Christian Revival Church.
Yeah.
Right now, it's in South Africa, Botswana, Namibia.
Yeah, London. It's all over the world. Australia.
Okay.
It's Scotland.
I'm just saying for the people who might not be planted in a church, maybe they might want to check out.
Yeah, no, they can
CRC.
Definitely.
Yeah.
CRC, we Pastor at Bosofi also has a YouTube channel and everything like that, mm-hmm. where the sermons are also given every week.
Yeah.
And
you guys do live feeds?
Live stream, yeah.
Live streams are cool, but I rather have people planted in the church, so if you can go to a physical church, that'll be better.
Because you need to get involved as well and start also having God use you.
Yeah. And also, if you are a member of CRC, my God, I'm still thinking about the 6 p.m. service. Like, I woke up and I was like, what? Like, I told my friend, because my friend Johnny, got shout out to you, Johnny. I told us, like, if anyone's in CRC and they're not growing, it's their own fault. Because literally everything is there. Like, the leadership, from what I saw, is good. The prayer, like, come on. No, like, CRC is a good church. Shout out to CRC people. And shout out to Pastor Art. I don't think he's going to see this, but anyway. Yeah. Your church is amazing. I love it.
Yeah, thank you. I also think so.
And it's also good, also, like, when other people, like, if you really love your church and you talk about it, it's a good sign that the church is a good church. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, but if you go to church and you don't tell anyone about your church,
exactly,
you're not inviting anyone to your church.
That's what I also thought in the previous church. I would never invite people to that church because it's like I would be torturing them basically because the praise and worship is so dull and stuff like that. But everyone has their own thing that they like.
So that's another thing. Find a church that you
fit into.
And if it is a traditional church, good for you, because the other people are flourishing in traditional churches, but it wasn't for us.
Yes, exactly.
So find a church that you're good with, get planted, and grow. Yes. Thank you, Monica.
Okay, you're welcome.
So that is the end of the episode. Thanks for listening into my conversation with Monica. I hope you were inspired, challenged, provoked in a good way. And remember to subscribe, share, and all those good things. And till next time, bye.